You'll find my text in the second chapter of the book of Exodus, and it is part of the 12th verse, but before I read it, I'll read the context. I'll read from verse 11 of the second chapter of Exodus. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Tendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared, said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. The words that have been with me now some time, I'm bringing before you this morning, the 12th verse. And he looked this way and that way. And he looked this way and that way. And friends, I think this is something that all of us do far too much. We look this way and that way. We should remember that Moses was doing this before the Lord had really called him to begin the work that he had for him to do, bring the children of Israel out of Israel. And as he was called, so he began the work alone. He didn't look up. He looked this way and that way. And I fear this is often the case with young Christians. When the Lord has begun to deal with their hearts and they have a desire to serve the Lord, then they begin the work looking this way and that way, wondering what this one will think of them, and afraid of another one. So they're looking perhaps for someone to commend them. If I do this, perhaps someone will say, oh, that's the right thing to do. Or if I do that, then they'll be against me. So we find that often young Christians begin like this and forget to look up. Now Moses, and let's remember, Moses was the great leader of the children of Israel, and I love to read what we're told in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's just look at this for a moment. The end of the book of Deuteronomy says about Moses, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. This is the man who begins with looking this way and that way, this great leader of the children of Israel. And we do remember that when the Lord calls him, he is full of excuses. But we do see, as we sometimes sing, that the arm of flesh will fail you. Dare not trust your own. He used the arm of flesh to seek to help God's people by slaying that Egyptian. And we know how it finished. Finished with him running for his life. How we do need to remember, friends, how much we should be looking up. For if the Lord has called us in his good time, will he bring deliverance and use us? So we find in the next chapter that the Lord says to Moses, there's a lot about it in these chapters, the Lord says to Moses, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that should go unto Pharaoh? See the difference. How often we are strong in our own strength. We think we can do things. We think it's right. And we could quite understand, in a sense, how Moses felt when he saw one of his brethren being beaten. He had a love for the brethren. He was brought up in Pharaoh's house, but it was the brethren. He had a love for him. There is a word that says, you know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. But let us seek not to, as it were, deliver them, but rather look to the Lord to deliver them, rather than putting our hand to a work the Lord has promised to do. I always remember my dear old grandfather. You know, so often it is with those of us who have had godly parents and godly grandparents and teachers and ministers. It's a case of he being dead yet speaketh. And whenever I think of the Lord's work, think of my granddad, and he used to say, don't put your dirty hands to the Lord's work. How we ought to do that. And here was Moses, this great leader of Israel, this man who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Here he begins his work without the Lord. And he looked this way and that way. He was afraid of men. He was afraid what would happen if man saw him doing what he was about to do. But the time came, friend, when the fear of man was taken away. It was the fear of God. And yet we see the excuses that he made. Who am I, he said. Then it was he desired the presence of God. The Lord told him, he says, certainly I will be with thee. And I think this has been mentioned in the vestry this morning by one of our brethren. The Lord said to him, he said to the Lord, if thou go not with us, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. See, he desired the very presence of God. He realized without God, he would fail. This had been his experience at the very commencement of his work for the Lord. And it may be, it is somebody's experience even this morning. There may be someone who's looking this way and that way. We may be looking at good people. We may be looking at God's people. We may have the fear of man. We may be looking for someone to commend us or applaud us for what we're about to do. This will be a good thing to do. Get rid of one of the enemies of my people. No, but he was beginning without the Lord. And so we soon find him running for his life. Running for his life. What an important thing it is, friends, to be in the Lord's will. Nothing more important, not only for God's servants, but for every believer. Now, sometimes I think believers think it's only the Lord's servants. I believe it's for every believer that they should be in the Lord's will. If you desire the Lord to be with you, you've got to be in his will. The word says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can't have the Lord with you if you're working on your own and without him. We can get in front of the Lord and we can be behind him. Here Moses was in front. But when the Lord called him and that time came, he said, I'll be with you. Certainly, he said, I'll be with you. Friend, if it is the Lord's will that we desire and seeking after, he'll be with us. Praise his name, he promises it. I wonder if there's someone this morning who's just looking this way and that way. It's a fear of man. Perhaps feeling that if there is to be help for the brethren, where's it coming from? We're looking round. We're often doing this, you know. Look for help from others rather than from the Lord. Now, I think, I like what we're told in Acts. Dying Stephen, or before he died, he thought of Moses. And this is what he said in his apology in the 7th chapter of Acts. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Now we see here that it says it came into his heart, verse 23. There's a lot of things come into our hearts, friend. It's surprising what comes into our heart regarding perhaps the things of God and the people of God. It came into his heart. Just so it came. But he didn't look up when it came into his heart. He just looked this way and that way. Didn't look up and say, Lord, is this what I must do? Is this your word? He didn't look for confirmation. No, he just looked this way and that way, and he got on with it. Friend, let us beware of this. Let us beware, because I'm repeating, he was running for his life. What a servant of God. This man who has killed an Egyptian. Surely this was, it wasn't God's time. Lord's never behind his time, he's never before it. Then there was another thing here that Stephen said in verse 25. For he supposed his brethren would have understood. We suppose things. Often in conversation when something goes wrong, we've supposed something. It's sort of come to us. Well, we thought. And let's beware of this as well. We need to remember the Lord, we need to be looking up. How different were things when the Lord caused him to look up. He didn't look this way and that way then. No. There's an old hymn that says about fixing our eyes upon Jesus. And friend, it's a wonderful thing when we're given that grace so that our eyes are fixed upon Jesus. Now we read in the Word of many places of those who look to the Lord. And we do find, friend, where they looked to the Lord, they were not disappointed. There was no need to run away. Though the enemies were very powerful, think of Jehoshaphat. Think of him in his day. We read when the enemy came upon them. They cried unto the Lord. And in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, we read in verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh after, against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. They didn't know what to do. Sometimes it's a good thing when we don't know what to do, friend. So often we know too much. They didn't know what to do. They didn't look this way. They'd seen the enemy, but they lifted their eyes straight up to him. How different would be things so often, friend, if when we come into that place we do not know what to do. Rather than seeking to do something, we lift our eyes unto him. And you know what happened? They had no need to fight in that battle. Just stand still. Not easy to stand still. But the Lord had said to them, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. What a wonderful book we have here, friend. What wonderful stories. We see the greatness, the power of God. We see that though man is weak, in God he can be strong. When he looks up, when he looks above to him. Truly, friends, regarding salvation, I've known young people seeking the Lord, and often they've looked this way and that way. They've looked at a godly man, godly woman, teacher. If I can be like her, then there's hope for me. If I can be like him, oh, I wish I could be like that man. Then they look this way and that way at different people. Don't look up. Friend, we need to look to him. God has said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, there's none else. I wonder if someone is looking this way and that way. Looking at somebody and trying to model yourself to them. Feeling if I'm only like him, then there'll be some hope. If I'm like him, then I think I should be all right. No, friend, you never will. Only when you look to him. Salvation is of the Lord. Then it's not of man, is it? It's of him. Just beware, friend. Maybe someone is so disappointed in themselves. And yet feeling, if only I can follow that man or that woman, if only I can do that, friend, you'll fail in the end. Find yourself running farther from God than ever before. Look unto me and be ye saved. Some, you know, looking this way and that way upon the affairs and things of this life, the son that do not even look this way and that way. I come from Bedford, where we've been thinking about John Bunyan this year. Wonderful book is Pilgrim's Progress. Book that's become neglected, although at one time it was more Pilgrim's Progress about, it was next to the Bible in publication. And when you think of the interpreter's house, as Christian was shown there, the man with a muck rake in his hand, raking among the things of this world. He didn't even look this way or that way. And he certainly didn't look up. Where the crown was being held above his head, he never looked up. Sometimes it's a good thing if we look this way and that way. If our eyes are open, we begin to look around. But it can be something that, after all, can be wrong in God's sight and regarding what the Lord has for us to do. I was thinking, and I was turning and reading this morning, thinking about Peter. End of the Gospel according to St. John, and in that last chapter, where from verses 19 we read a little about Peter, what was spoke to him in from verse 18, and how we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he has spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, said the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" See, he was looking at another man. He's looking this way. He turned. What shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." He was turning behind. Well, what's this man going to do? Let us beware. May this word be brought home to us this morning. May we see the mistake that Moses made at the start. Full of love for the brethren, seeking to deliver them, seeking to help them, yet without the Lord. Looking this way and that way, but not looking up. This great leader of the children of Israel, I read what was said of him. There was not another man like Moses. It's great work. But we can see even there that it is very dangerous for you and me to look this way and that way and not to look up. You know, I love to think of the ark that Noah built. He built it under God's direction. And you know, I suppose in these days and many days, there are drawings and models of the ark. And sometimes they hang up even in our own Sunday schools. remember some time ago, I was in one of our chapels and minister was there, who I know and love, and I said to him, "What's the matter with your ark?" He said, "What's the matter, Mr. Lewin?" I said, "It's got a lot of wind, isn't it, hasn't it?" "Oh, yes," he said. "Well, you know, when the ark was built, the Lord said, you've only got to have one window. It's got to be on the top. And while they were in the ark, friend, they could only look up. That's all. They couldn't look anywhere else. The ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're in him, only look up." Think of in that day when the world was destroyed by the flood. They, Noah wouldn't be able to say, "Oh, I saw the wicked, I saw what happened." No, he never saw that. Something God was doing, not Noah's work. He just had to look up. Friends, with all our enemies and all our temptations, whatever may come against us in this life, let us look up. Don't look this way. Don't look that way. There'll be no help. The arm of flesh will fail you. May we remember the traveller's psalm. You know what that is? Psalm 121. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help?" You've got help from anywhere else. Is there deliverance, salvation from anywhere else? No. Yet sometimes we fail to look up. Start to look this way and that way. And Satan will have us do that, let me say. As sure as he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, so there's always a temptation to look this way and that way. "I'll go and see so-and-so, see what they say. Oh, I must go, they're the ones who help us." Friend, that's not the way. You know, when the Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil came to him and said, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He showed him. He tried to get the Lord to look at the things round about. And Satan is seeking in that same way even believers. He'll do anything. He'll bring anything before us to keep us from looking up. And it's amazing how many things there are we may be looking this way and that way at. And find after all have failed us. Failed us. Many a person has said, "If only I could get this in the home. If only I could have that, then I'd be able to serve the Lord better." And they look at that thing. And it's no help to them at all, friend. Need to continue looking up. So Jesus said to Satan, "Get thou behind me, Satan." He said, "Thou shalt worship only God." That's the only one. Worship only God. Look only to him. So friends, this morning I trust this word will help us and search us and cause us to look up as we never have done before. Maybe that this word will come to us. We shall find ourselves looking this way and that way. Let us remember that if we're in such a case, we shall not gain any help. Freedom and deliverance for Israel could not come through Moses slaying one Egyptian. but by the mighty hand of God must it come. And the time came, friends, when Moses led the song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have sunk in the depths of the sea. The enemy said, I will overtake, I will pursue, I will destroy. He can only say that, friend. Look to God. And so may this word be helpful to us, because salvation is of the Lord. So may we not look this way or that way, but above, for his name's sake. Amen.
Here are the notes for the week, God willing. Monday night, Pastor C.O. Lewin will preach. Wednesday, 2 p.m., Ladies' Fellowship meeting at 45 Tregen Road. 7:15, prayer meeting, 8:30 p.m., choir practice. Collection last Sunday, £47.38. For which we thank you. Our own chapel anniversary services will be held next Sunday at 8 on the 8th of October 1978, when Pastor D.T.D. Martin of Rally Regis will preach. Times of services, morning, 10:30 a.m., 2:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. Anthems will be sung by the choir. Collections for chapel funds. A warm welcome to all. Hope Street Baptist Chapel, Arkell Street, Sedgley, Dudley, West Midlands. Anniversary services, God willing, will be held on Lord's Day, the 8th of October 1978. Preacher Mr. C. E. Dawson of West Cone. Morning 10:45, afternoon 2:45, evening 6, selections for the course. Hymn 247. Trouble flee, my best, my only friend.
Oh.
Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We fear there are those times when we have looked this way and that way, and so have got ourselves into trouble and disappointments. Help us, Lord, then, just to look to thee. Make thy will known to us, that we may have thee with us. And then we know all will be well. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with each one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.